What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Real quick before we start the show, just wanted to let you guys know you can get the show 2 days early by joining our Patreon. Even for a buck, you can listen to the show 2 days early. Go to patreon.com/analogtalk and we got a bunch of stuff over there. Check it out and enjoy the episode.
Hey you guys, welcome back to another episode of Analog Talk, a film photography podcast. I'm your host, Tim.
I'm Chris.
And on today's show, we have Mark Rebier. Hey, Mark.
Hey.
Hi, Mark.
What's going on, guys? So lovely to meet you and so lovely to be here in this cozy little online space.
I know.
Excited to chat with you all things photography. Before we do, do you mind introducing yourself to our listeners who may not know you and kind of give us a background on how you got into photography?
Absolutely. Yeah. I am Mark Rebier. I'm a musician. That's my profession. Photography is just a love, a pretty recent love. My business is kind of going on stage and making up songs in front of people generally are
so cool, by the way.
Unhinged. And thank you. Thank you. It can be, varying levels of quality and energy, but generally it's kind of just mayhem up there. And whatever sound comes out of my mouth, we just kind of roll with and turn it into something. So that's a lot of crowd work, a lot of asses shaking, a lot of champagne being sprayed. It's a very high energy affair. And so, that's what I do for money. But I got into photography a couple of years ago. I was doing a show on the street with Reggie Watts. I don't know if you know him. But, I mean, he's the legend. He's just amazing. True legend. And we were doing a show in Chinatown here in Manhattan. And afterwards, this dude stopped me and took a picture of me. And he later tagged me in it. And I saw it and just loved the way it looked so much and asked him what he used. I think it was a TVS. I think it was a Contax TVS. It might have been a 2. That just sent me down a rabbit hole. And within a week, I was at this place called PhotoCare here in the city. And the guy there who I'm still friends with and still going and just chop it up with occasionally, he gave me, well, he didn't give me, I bought an Olympus XA. Just that absolutely stunning little rangefinder.
Yeah.
And now it's a problem. Now I have a problem.
We're familiar with that problem.
I can only imagine.
Man, I love, this is like my favorite part of the show because we hear that like, that moment when it was like, ding, you know?
Oh, man. Yeah, that's basically, it was like, I think the reason I loved it so much, well, there's like two reasons. One is that my dad growing up took like just constant, ceaseless images and video of me and my family and like was to the point where it was like really annoying.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But of course, now we have this like library memories that are saved. And now, but you know, at the time it was annoying, but I think I now kind of understand why he was doing that. He just wanted to savor and preserve these moments. And I'm kind of doing it for the same reason now. And then additionally, it really scratches this issue that I have of like tiny little machines. Like I used to be obsessed with mobile tech, you know, like cell phones when they were iterating and doing really interesting things. All the companies sort of competing and one-upping each other. Now I feel like it's sort of plateaued a little bit.
But
I just have always had a real fascination with like little gadgets. And I had no idea how much of a fucking wellspring of little gadgetry this hobby is. So yeah, I just can't stop reading about them. I can't stop buying them. I don't know how many at this point, 50 or more.
Yes.
I think. And wow. It's just, yeah, it's become a complete and utter obsession.
Yeah. Thinking about that, I guess it was like the tech for the older generation, you know, like new cameras and new.
Well, right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I could see
what got y'all into it. What was the thing?
Well, for me, I got into photography in high school and I learned on film.
Mm-hmm.
And then I like went to photography school. We were in the dark room. We you know, got this big fancy camera as part of our tuition. But then it was 2004.
What camera?
It was a Mamiya 645 AFD, which I sold.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
I sold it.
Big business.
Oh.
I sold it in like 2008 for like $800. My biggest.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Sort of like tripled, quadrupled your investment.
But at the end of that year, everybody was like buying the new like SLRs because everybody was like, digital's going to be the way. You don't need film anymore.
Oh, and then right.
I was on that train for a while. And then a friend of mine was like, you got to try this. Get back into film. Like, here, buy this camera. It was like it was my Canon Elon 7NE. And he's like, he's like, go develop. And I shot a roll and I let the roll sit forever because I was like, whatever. And then I got the roll back finally months later and was like, I was like, this is so much better than digital. And then I fell down that rabbit hole and bought all the cameras and have a shelf full collection and have a podcast. Basically my whole personality now, you know?
Yeah.
It's a big part of mine, honestly. I've been saying this recently. Like, I feel like I spend a lot more time shooting and reading and just consumed by photography than I do music.
Wow.
It's pretty significantly more time,
say. That's interesting.
Yeah, it's just kind of, I don't know. It's just, you can really let yourself sink into it. There's so much information and so, there's like a fucking century of history.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's insane. It's insane.
It's extraordinary.
And different, you know, formats and different processes and.
Yeah.
It's endless.
What about you, Timothy? Where did it start with you?
So I think I got like a 110 for a birthday or something when I was little and probably shot pictures of my Spider-Man and He-Man and all that stuff.
Like, where are those photos?
Way too close, blurry. You can't even tell what it is. But, you know, time went on. I musician, always wish I would have been the guy. I hear the stories all the time of, you know, Sam was the dude in the van with the camera. I wish I would have been that guy, but I dropped the ball on that one too. And I've always wanted to be like a painter as well. And can't, you know, I'm a stick figure, you know, circle sun with the lines coming out of it. M's for birds.
Really?
I'm terrible at that stuff too. So photography kind of fell on my, I think I was at like a thrift store. This is right before I moved to Nashville. I live in central PA. I'm back now, but right before I moved down to Nashville, I bought a little point and shoot at a thrift store and it kind of just went with me somehow. Somehow it made the cut in the book bag.
Do you remember what it was?
Yeah, I think it was one of those.
One of the Olympus?
Like an IQ Zoom Pentax, I believe. Mm. I believe it was like a chunky boy IQ Zoom.
With the SBO, those going from that SBO family?
Yes.
Yeah.
So took that with, put a couple rolls through it. And again, didn't even know you could develop them anymore. It was just such a weird thing. Dropped them off at Walgreens one day, saw them, was like, wow, this is really neat.
That's really all it takes. It's just like seeing the results of like one roll. You're just like, what the fuck have I been doing?
It's insane. Yeah. It's insane. And then I started assisting my uncle down in Nashville. He works for the Nashville Ballet and the, all this stuff down there. So I was shooting a lot of like B-roll video for him and gripping for music videos and just doing everything I could to learn like that aspect of things. And
that's dope, man.
Got real bored with digital though. You know what I mean? Like the whole digital thing comes and goes so quick because it's like every week there's a new camera. There's this, you got to buy this. I'm spending a fortune trying to build my arsenal. And meanwhile, this awesome little point and shoot was way cooler, way more fun.
Yeah.
Found a couple dudes on YouTube, Matt Day, and just kind of fell in love with the whole film community thing and was like, I'm done with digital. And here we are.
Yeah. Man, it's a really cool community too. I've started to fall into it a little bit here and there, you know, just meeting some people from the community. It's lovely people. And we're all obsessed with the same thing, which is kind of nice.
I know.
Yeah, it's
wonderful.
The best.
It's wonderful.
The best.
Yeah. It is the best. You don't have to feel like a complete asshole just spewing out bullshit for people who don't care, you know, they just don't care at all. I talk about this to my friends all the time who don't. They endure, you know what I mean?
Because, yes. Mm-hmm.
Because I'm always, now I'm at the point where I do not leave this apartment without a camera.
I was going to ask you that. Yeah.
Never.
Yeah.
I mean, even if it's for like a simple errand, but I'm always taking pictures of my nights out with them. So it's like they endure it because they always get like the fruits of, whatever camera I happen to have. And it's just great, man. It's like all these days that I wouldn't remember otherwise, people even that I meet when I'm out. And then now this whole element of touring and, capturing those memories. But I have been dabbling a little bit with shooting shows. Like my musician friends now, I know some of their photographers. And so now I've gotten to have a photo pass at a couple shows and try messing around with film at shows, which has been interesting.
Man, that's great.
Yeah, it's been really fun.
And I was thinking what you said earlier, kind of touch back on how you're kind of more into, you know, reading about photography and cameras and all that stuff than you have been on the music end of things. Do you think?
Yeah.
Because I know what it's like to work in a, I mean, Chris, you too, you work in a profession that you love, like music's your deal, your main deal. Do you think photography kind of saves the sweetness of music? Because I know you probably get burned out and stuff playing music, or do you not get burned out? Is it like a fresh thing for you every time?
Oh, you could absolutely, yeah. I mean, I absolutely get burned out for sure. I mean, I think it's like, the thing is with music, it's like, you know, I had a version of this job that I envisioned for many, many years that I'm not doing that. I mean, it was like the whole idea originally was to produce music for people.
Oh,
and so that's kind of how I learned for 10 years, you know, just traditional production. And, so, you know, like this version of it, well, I mean, it's amazing. I never could have, never could have envisioned this kind of being the thing. And being able to go on stage and like make stuff up every night definitely does keep it super fresh.
That's just nuts. Yeah.
Also, I don't have to rehearse, which is amazing because I don't really particularly like working very hard. So I don't have to do that. And but the thing is about photography and then all these other things, you know, there's a few other kind of intense hobbies I have, maybe just a couple others, but that I really spend a lot of time on. And that's kind of speaks to the fact that music is like, it's just one of the things, you know, it's like it does bring me a lot of joy, but I'm not obsessed with it like I am with photography or abstract strategy board games, these things that I really read actively about and discover more about. I don't do that with music. I'm not like a synth guy or I'm not reading about, yeah, you know, I get these new plugins or pedals or shit. I just don't really, it's not that interesting to me. The creation part and crowd work and sort of existing in the moment, those things that this show allows me to do, that is interesting. But I don't really have to do a lot of like research or, you know, spend a lot of time on that. I just let it rip. And while it's these things are, you know, they're just these giant, giant holes of just beautiful information and history and, you know, all that shit. And plus you can spend money on it and that's fun.
Now that you say that, I mean, you've been rocking the same music setup for, I feel like, as long as I've been watching you. I mean,
oh yeah,
so,
dude.
So that's interesting.
It's essentially exactly what it was when I first started making videos. Yeah.
Yeah, that's wild. And then you got this camera thing where you just can't get enough of them.
With the music, though, kind of that, because sometimes, like, in photography-wise, you talk about this on the show a lot, like, the gear can get in the way, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but I feel like if you're keeping your music set up simple, then you can just go out and do your thing and not have to be like, oh man, I wish I had this like whatever, like
right,
pedals.
Right, right. No, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, there's, and I also with photography, I feel like the same, like you say, that the same argument can be made validly, which is like, you know, I mean, if the objective is not to like enjoy interesting new machinery and play with, you know, fun objects that all do the same thing a little bit differently, then like, but if your goal is to like make good work, then you should probably be using something that you're really familiar with, that you can shoot easily, reliably, you understand, right? I mean, I think so. I'm kind of zeroing in on those particular cameras for me, but yeah, but I still just get so much joy out of like the buying a new one and just, it's just playing with it.
It's also crazy because every time I think I'm like, all right, I don't need anything else.
I got it all.
I'm never satisfied.
Really? Never?
Yeah. No, like there's always like, man. Now I'm lusting after the Fuji GA645, that medium format point shoot.
Oh, yeah, I had the GA645i, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think, to my knowledge, it is the only medium format camera ever made with a pop-up flash, I believe.
Yeah.
I don't think there's another one. I mean, it is a point and shoot on 645. Fucking nuts. The one thing I will say is that the autofocus can be a little dodgy.
Yeah. It
was a little dodgy, but, and also that Fuji 9, like the lens for me, just to my taste, I've made some fun stuff with it that I like, but it's a little clinical for me, you know. It's like a little Mamiya-y. It's so sharp and perfect that it's like, you know, just use something like with maybe a little more aggressive grain structure that brings out some personality in it, you know? It's a little clinical for me.
Okay.
A little clinical. That's my opinion.
Those prices went bonkers on those though too. Like
yeah,
I remember
know.
When they were $300-$400, like what, like five,
like
6 years ago?
Man.
Yeah. They went a little crazy.
Right. Yeah.
Anytime the community is like, wait, what is over here?
Yeah.
I didn't know about this. Then everybody's
right,
like,
and then everyone just starts buying it. It's exactly. Oh my God. That's a rat race.
It is.
It's literally.
It is. We all just want the cool shit. You know?
Always.
I just got a Minolta CLE.
Oh, that's on my list, man. It's been on my list for a while.
It's pretty cool with that little 40 like Summicron, that Rokor 40.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just such a cool little tight package, but I do have a couple. I'm just looking at it because I have a couple little problems with it. The one thing is, it's so light, which could be considered a benefit, but it's so light that it sits weird on a strap. I usually do like a around the body strap, so it kind of sits on my back. I can pull it around and do that. And it's so light that it gets weighed down by the top end.
Oh,
and so it's just, even with film in it. Yeah, that's kind of a huge bummer. I think I'm just not like in love with it. It's, the lens is beautiful. It renders really nicely, but it's just, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. It's aight. It's a tiny little beast.
What made you pick the Minolta over the lights version?
You know, what it was, first of all, I heard that the M Rokor, I mean, the Minolta made version of it after the CL was like the same construction, but with a little more sophisticated coating.
Okay.
So that's what I heard. I'm not sure if that's true or not. But then the other reason I went for it was that did the CL go to 1000 or was it just 1500?
I don't remember. I think it's
1000. I think the CLE. Oh, okay. Maybe it is.
No, I got to Google it. I'm Googling it.
The real reason I got it, though, was because of the metering upgrade. The you know, like the CLE has this crazy, like, I don't know if you've seen it on the shutter curve. That's this like multi-dot, you know, usually like on an M6 or something, you have that center sort of, it's essentially a spot meter.
Yeah.
The CLE has this really intricate white dot sort of pattern painted on the entire shutter. So it like kind of takes a reading of the full film plan rather than just the middle.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. So, but then what kind of the downside to that that I've realized is that it's trying to get the whole scene to like middle gray. So it kind of ends up usually flattening out the exposure really. And I think I actually just prefer having a spot meter so I can choose what I want to meter.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, lock in my exposure there and then take the shot. Yeah. Or just meter by eye. It's which is just easier during the day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's so good when you can do that too. When you've been like shooting long enough and you can feel the old exposure.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
What a great feeling.
Not, you know, it's not so bad. And because the thing it's like that now I've been doing it for a while because I have a few cameras that are just mechanical and don't have a meter.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just take them out and just shoot them. And like your best guess is good enough.
Good enough.
Like,
yep.
Pretty, but even when I'm shooting slide, if you can get within a stop, you're good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This film is just very forgiving. It's like
it is.
And plus, if you under or overexpose, it's just it'll look interesting. It's not like big deal. You just guess and fucking shoot. Yeah.
Yep.
I had a question. Are you somebody who like would you flip your cameras if you're something like this? You're not really that into. Do you sell it or are you like me and hold on to it anyway?
I think I usually hold on to them.
Yeah.
I have sold one or two, but that's about it.
Yeah, and then regret it for the rest of your life. I sold a I sold my Contax 645.
Mm.
I mean, that Mamiya obviously was my first big mistake. And then I sold, I found in a thrift store for like $10 Pentax K1000.
Really?
I flipped it, and then I was like, but why did I do that? Like, why did I do that?
Those are great little cameras, man. I got one of those with the whatever the edition they made. It might have been it's like some special edition that has that is brown leather instead of the like black and chrome.
And that shutter feels
nice.
So good on that camera.
Oh man,
that button is like so
Pentax
nice.
Slap.
Yeah,
you cannot fuck around with that Pentax slap. I have the 6.4. I had the 6.72, and
man, that's a
yeah.
That slap is unequaled. It's unequaled. I don't know if there's a better slap than the 6.7.
No. Every time a Pen 6.7 slaps, you know, an angel gets its wings up in heaven.
Yeah.
That's what they say.
Yeah.
The other really great slap is the 500 cm.
The Hasselblad. Yeah, that's my baby.
That's a slap.
That is a good feeling.
It's the slap and then the crank.
Yeah,
it's the
1-2,
the slap and then the
You're like, I just made something there. Like that's
yeah. Oh, what a beautiful thing.
That can't. Yeah,
that's still one I have not owned. I need to own one.
That's some really incredible glass. It just. It's special for a reason, you know.
Yeah,
I got a pretty good deal on that because those they're up there now too. They're like $2,700, I think.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I got a good deal too.
I sold my Contax T2 and $400 trade to this guy. I was like, this is what I paid for it. So I was like,
okay, that is amazing. That let's just think about that for a moment.
Yeah, I know.
You traded a point and shoot for us like. Medium format legend.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
I couldn't believe it.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
What do you guys? What do you guys think about the? I mean, obviously, it is lovely glass. But what do you think about all that? Like the T4 and T5 and T2 and T3.
So the T4 is like one of my all time favorites.
I have not shot with it yet.
It's so good. I've like they break and I've like replaced it like because it's
really
it's what the camera that I came to California with too, so a lot of my first memories of LA are like captured on that camera, so it's like kind of sentimental to me too.
Yeah,
and now I'm photographing my kiddo with it. It's like the easiest thing to just like photograph a toddler. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah. Right. Is the autofocus pretty quick?
It's pretty good. Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
And it just hits every time. It's like so good.
It's that glass, man.
It
so
is.
Good.
It is.
It's that T coating. It's that T-star coating.
But I have a champagne T4. I have a black T5. Like, I'm also like...
She's got them.
Talking about camera collections, it's like...
Wow. That's cool. Now, maybe I should get one. Maybe I should get one because they're a little more rugged. I feel like if I get the T2 or T3, I'm going to be too precious with it.
See,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, that was my problem with why I let the T2 go. I was just like, I'm afraid to use it. You
just
know?
Like, don't want to bring it out. Yeah. It's like... so delicate. Yeah.
If you drop it, that's bad news.
That's bad news.
I had such a bad experience with the T2. I bought one and literally a week later, now mind you, I did only buy it for, I think it was like right under $700. It was like $690 or something like that. And a week later it bricked. And there was nothing.
Oh my God.
I was contacting everyone up and down. I was like, is there any way to fix this? No, the problem that you're having is just not, you know, and I was like, man.
Oh, really? It was like just a not fixable problem.
Yeah. They said it was just bricked. I took it to a guy in Memphis, I think it was. No, what's the other one? Not Memphis, where the mountains are.
Nashville?
Anyway. No, it's in Tennessee.
Oh, it's in Tennessee. Knoxville or something?
Knoxville. Yes. Thank you. Took it to a guy in Knoxville. He said, you know, from his understanding of everything, and he had talked to somebody else, he's like, it's trash. And on the way home, I was at a rest stop and I threw it in a trash can. I was just like, and now I wish I wouldn't have, because maybe there's somebody out there now that could have fixed it.
But mine,
this was like,
you know, I bet you, I wonder
ago.
If Nippon here in Manhattan, they do all contact stuff, you know? I bet you they could have pried that.
I'm going to go back to that trash can and see if it's still there.
Don't grab that.
I mean, it was like six years ago. It's probably still
there. Yeah. Still be there.
But I have a TVS, the one you were talking about. I have a TVS. Mm-hmm. I love that camera. I mean, but they have.
Yeah, those are really cool little cameras.
They have faulty issues with the zoom on it. The cord, there's a little cable that.
That's what happened to my friends.
Yeah, they kind of cried out. Mine's still doing all right, but I've heard
the three is the one with the flap, right?
Yes, the three has the flap.
Kind of an interesting design. It looks kind of like the original Contax T, which I really want.
Yeah, that's a cool one.
That Porsche design in collaboration with them. That's a really cool. Plus, it has the same LED. That's the thing. It's like you can get a T for like $500. Same glass as the T2.
Yep, right.
And it's a rangefinder. Like that, it's like seems better to me.
Yeah,
right.
I'm going to start looking for them again.
Yeah, they've got some pretty decent examples on eBay. And also, whenever you buy shit on eBay from Japan, it gets here in like 2 days.
Yeah.
I don't get it either.
What
I have
is
no
going
idea.
On with them?
They're amazing.
It's like as fast as a flight.
Yeah.
I'm always shocked. It's here already.
I don't understand what's going on there. It's an incredible phenomenon. I'm not sure what that is.
I'm not sure, but I know I do a lot of, I work at a music store and we do a lot of eBay sales. And I know that there's a bunch of these like warehouses and stuff that are owned by, you know, owned from people in Japan and China and stuff like that. But they're in like Texas, or I think there's one in Connecticut or something like that. And they're like shipping warehouses. So like I'll ship a guitar to Texas or something. And it's like,
so you think that maybe it's like, because
maybe
the,
I don't know.
They anticipate the stock being sold mostly to this side of the world that they just have those warehouses.
I mean, I could be completely pulling that out of my ass. I don't know, but
because I'm seeing the DHL shit. It's all DHL shit, and you see it's like Tokyo. You know,
it's wild. Weird. I don't get it.
It's just an incredibly efficient and effective shipping program.
Yeah. Which is problematic for us because they're like, well, you know, it's not like it'll get here in a couple of days. It's not like I have to wait that long for it. Bye.
This one that I really, really want that I'm trying to convince myself not to get, but I really want it, is the Ricoh GR21.
Oh, yeah.
That very special, only in the world, 21mm point and shoot. That is just an insane thing. It was like they made it for, I don't know, not very long at all. It's super rare.
How much?
Oh, it's like $1,500.
Shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's like $1,200 to $1,500. It's like, it's like Contax pricing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's very special. You know what I mean?
It is.
There is no other point and shoot with a 21mm lens. This doesn't exist.
I know, man.
Kind of crazy. Yeah. With a flash, you know, I mean, it's like kind of the perfect little party camera. You just walk around.
Oh, man, that
it is. They're insanely thin. Yeah. They're like a, you know, pocket T camera. You know what I mean? You can just slip it right in the pocket.
It's true. The engineering on the GR, the whole GR series in general, is just like nuts.
Yeah.
To me.
Yeah.
You don't even feel like a canister can fit.
I know. I don't know how they did it.
Nuts. Wow.
I don't either. It's incredible.
Yeah. They're beauties.
They truly are.
I'm looking at it right now. It's so handsome.
Yeah, it's got that little protruding nub at the front.
Little baby nub.
What I do now for that kind of effect is I have the 21 millimeter color scope R.
Yeah.
The Voigtlander. Mm-hmm. I think it's an F4 or something. But I put it on my, it's a screw mount, but I have an M adapter. So yeah. I use the M adapter, pop it on the M6, and then I have the SF20, I think, or maybe it's the SF24 flash. They're kind of the mm-hmm. same, but it's that little sort of compact-ish flash that Leica makes. And so I have the M6 TTL. So you set the aperture, I set the aperture on the Voigtlander to like F11. Mm-hmm. No, I set it to F16. Then you set the flash to F16. And then basically that gives this particular lens everything from minimum focus distance to infinity is in focus. Yeah. So it becomes a point and shoot.
Wow.
I just wave it around and shoot, and you get these beautiful, beautiful images.
Yeah,
out of
I
it.
Love your party shots on your Instagram of mm-hmm. that stuff.
Thanks, dude.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. I love stuff like that. Like the close. I used to shoot fisheye and stuff all the time. And
oh yeah,
it can get annoying at times. I get it, but
for sure,
there's something
for sure.
fun about being in an awkward position, getting a shot of like the whole shebang.
Yeah, I agree. Plus, it's like what you're shooting is interesting.
Yeah.
Then
yeah.
Gives a fuck, yep. Who cares what you're using, really? It's just if people are doing weird shit or hot people or party, whatever. Whatever. It's fun. It's fun. I agree. I think, obviously the whole fisheye aesthetic is, has been dreadfully mm-hmm. overused over the years, but it kind of has been overused because it's pretty
damn awesome.
kind of a great look.
I'm going to have to, I hid mine, so I wouldn't use it all the time. I'm going to have to pull it out of retirement and get it back on the camera.
What do you have, the Lomo?
It's a Nikon. It's a, what is it? I think it's a...
Oh, just a lens?
Yeah, eight millimeter. I think it's eight. It's six or eight, and it's awesome. It was, I had an old photography guru. I used to talk about him on the show all the time, Mr. Bob. He was like the legend of film really? Photography back in the day. And he used to own the building I worked really? At when I lived in Nashville. And he would always like come in with lenses or old film or a 4x5 camera for me or some like crazy Polaroid stuff. Or it was just amazing to have him on my team. You know what I mean? And he brought in
this
crazy Nikon lens, and it now that I think of it, I think it's like 18 millimeters. It's 18 or 16, but it's got red filter, yellow filter built into it. You can slide the filters.
Oh, I've seen that lens, dude.
It's legendary.
I saw that lens a few months ago while I was on the road. We went to a camera shop and saw mm-hmm. that. It is an incredible. It's just such a bizarre looking piece of glass.
One of the ugliest looking things ever, but it is.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Dude, the other thing that I saw at that same store, I guess they just had some really cool fisheye shit, or ultra wide, whatever you want to call it. But they had the ultra wide lens for the 6.7.
Whoa.
Which is a crazy looking.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just massive. And I guess it might be 24 millimeter, but it's like a, 12 equivalent or something like that. 28 maybe. I don't know. But yeah, it just looks insane. But I really want it.
Yeah. I know too, the fisheye for the Hasse was like super popular back in the day too for skateboarding.
Oh, yeah,
like,
sure.
Oh, really?
If you were, a pro photog in the, 90s, 80s, 90s above, they all had that lens. And
is that the one that is part of the 903 SW?
That sounds familiar. I don't know much about
that. Because it's the one without a mirror system. It's basically the, it's the film back and then the lens. And it has like a viewfinder.
We just talked about that camera.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Is it the 903 SW Zonum? Is that what I'm thinking
of? I'm not 100% sure, but that sounds like it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it has a wide. It has a wide on it. I mean, it like comes with a wide. And maybe it's like a 28 equivalent.
I'm trying to see here. I'm not seeing any sizes. There's 24s.
Yeah, it might be like a 903 SW. I feel like it's a 903 SW, man.
Fisheyes are fun regardless. That's what...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the point.
That's the point.
That is the point we are making.
Man.
You know, you can get closer and fit people.
It's fun.
I wanted to ask you about, like, the cameras obviously is, like, one major part of it for you, but are you finding yourself, like, are you working on a body of work per se? Are you like honing your craft for like maybe a book or like a show or a scene, anything?
I am trying to, I definitely actively try to take better pictures. So I am trying to just better myself in that way, aesthetically, compositionally. You know, I'm trying to find a lens, camera, film stock combo that I really like in terms of color, rendition, character, and all that, and that's easy to carry around and has a good compact flash. So like there's like a few things, these things I'm looking at that I'm trying to kind of put together the ideal kit where it's like glass that I like and flash that I can like bust out if it, you know, so this all, this whole thing, and then a film stock that sort of does well in daytime and at night, but it's all just experimenting, I guess. But I do have a few ideas for like themed projects that I would like to do. Do you know the guys at Brooklyn Film Camera?
Oh, yeah. I just was at, I went to Policon.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they actually showed 100 of my pictures for a month or two.
Yeah, that's right.
It was all these pictures from tour that I took that, you know, I think they were, there were some of them that were pretty good, but that's a lot of pictures, and there a lot of them were just like fine. But I think the, you know, the appeal was that it's just, you know, my memories from tour stuff. But yeah, I had a good time doing that. But I think if I were to do something like that again, I definitely would want to hone in on a specific thing. I had this idea of like, you know, there's always like a really dope photographer at the, you know, the Met Gala and all these events where like super famous people are. You always take like really interesting pictures.
Yeah.
I had a thought of doing like an event like that, but shooting all of these ultra famous people in like a high school yearbook.
Oh,
so
shit.
So it's like, you know, you have the velvet curtain, the shitty velvet curtain, and like in a little umbrella flash.
Yeah.
And you have them sit on a stool and like face three quarters, you know, like there and sort of like prom or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just shoot everybody that way.
That would be sick.
And then you can present it on it. That would be cool, right?
It would
be. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
So, yeah, that's about as far as I've gotten with it, though. There was another one that was like, I wanted to shoot with like a telephoto lens, people exiting a Taco Bell drive-thru. And just like the range of expressions you would get watching someone exit a drive-thru.
Like,
shame, humiliation. Joy, their highest shit, you know, any number.
Their Baja Blast.
Yeah.
They're Code Red. Yeah.
Man.
That'd make a fun little zine. I'd buy it.
You get a little zine right there? You buy it?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll do that. Yeah, maybe it doesn't have to be some big show. I can just put a zine together.
Yeah.
Yeah, zines are fun that way. You don't have to overthink
them. Yeah,
that's the fun part. Yeah. That's true. I've just been... I've seen this guy around town recently. He's got Trevor Weisskopf.
Oh, he's legit, dude. Yeah, he's good.
He's great.
Yeah,
he takes great photographs, and he's just such an interesting dude. He's like a little bit off in his rocker.
Yep,
and in a way that's very endearing.
Uh huh.
Yeah, I just like him. He's cool. I've been running into him all the time. He's like does nothing but stomp around the streets taking photos. You know,
all day, the dream.
Yeah. That's pretty dumb. But I just brought him up because he released a zine, which I should buy and support. I should support him.
The old zine.
I say that about zines, but then, you know, they do get in my way. You don't have to overthink them. That's all I do is I put out one and then have been frozen.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right.
Take my own advice.
I guess that's the... Yeah, because it's supposed to... Well, I guess... Is that what it's supposed to be? They're supposed to be sort of like... It's not like a super put together thing.
Yeah,
it's
it could
like,
be anything. Like some people do like Xerox zines, you know, like, and like, it doesn't have to be anything.
Yeah.
It's whatever you want it to be. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Dope. I like that. Wow. Maybe I'll do that. That's fun.
You should.
Fun thing to think
Send
about.
Send you down another rabbit hole.
Yeah. Yeah. There is one thing. Exactly. Here we go. I have this one roll that I shot that actually might be good for that. It was just this very specific thing, which was there was this day in the fall or the winter. I forget when it was, but this like crazy fog fell over all of lower Manhattan, like extremely thick. And I woke up early in the morning when it was still super thick and immediately got a roll of Retrochrome 400. You guys know that stock?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's the best. FPP.
It's insane. FPP.
One of my faves.
I got a roll of that. I got my F6 and an 80 to 200. You know, so shot this like expired ass, grainy ass film on the telephoto, which brought out more of the grain.
The grain.
And it's like these blue, foggy shots that I still some of the my favorite things I've ever shot.
Man, I want to see
and
those.
And just like the fog, a zine, something like that.
There you go. There it is right there.
Right there.
There
right
we
there.
Are. A few pages off we go.
Yep. Yep.
Well, thanks, guys. There we go. I did it.
Yeah. You did it.
You're welcome. No, just kidding.
We all did it.
We did. Well, speaking of film stocks, what are you like? Do you stick to one or do you kind of play around? Are you a film hoarder? Do you have like a fridge full of shit or is it just like kind of?
I have a bit in a fridge. I've got a good. I keep a bunch in the fridge. I kind of like with my search for the perfect thing, which I know doesn't exist, but my perfect thing.
Yes.
I run through a whole bunch of different film stocks for a while. I was really enjoying Superia. I still really enjoy it. It's great. I mean, the colors are just wonderful. It's so lush. Just so lush. I shot Portrait at the beginning because that's like all anyone talks about. It is a great stock, but it's a little flat for me. It just, I don't know. I got used to like the punch of Superia and like, you know, Fujifilm's just more, their film stocks are bolder.
They are.
They definitely are. And now I've really been enjoying this Aerochrome variant that POFO has put out called Luminar. Luminar 100. It's Aerochrome, but it's a really, I don't know if there's, you guys know a lot about Aerochrome. Are there different Aerochrome stocks?
I'm not sure. I never had the chance to shoot it. It was just one of those that's gone before I had a chance.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, apparently, I mean, there's a few companies out now that are spooling it. But I hear a lot about how it has a you know, really aggressive red cast. And it does have a pretty aggressive red cast, but this particular stock, this Luminar, is not very aggressive. It's a softer, so I'm imagining that there are several versions of Aerochrome.
Yeah, there has to be.
And that they have chosen one that is a little more reasonable, but it's super vintagey and kind of it just has it's a real vibe and it works really
like
well.
Bubble gummy. It always reminds me of like bubble gum. You know what I mean? It's so
dude.
Yeah,
totally. Yeah. Totally. I'm really enjoying it. It does well with the flash.
I've ever seen it. I don't know if I know it.
Oh man, look it up, Chris.
I'll send you a few. It's Yeah, it's dope. I highly recommend giving it a shot.
It was a film. I believe the film was made like back in the like 60s or 70s as like a Where to See the Enemy. It was like an army film.
It was in planes, bombers and stuff. So bombers would take picture aerial shots with it. Yeah.
Wild.
Crazy.
It is. It really is.
I saw that you shot the new Lumography 92 film.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
how was that? What do you think of that? I'm excited for mine to come in.
I like it. It's maybe a hair, I would say, maybe on the cold side for me. I like things a little warmer. I just like things a little warmer, I think. But I mean, yeah, it's definitely, I mean, it's a vibe and a half.
It is a vibe. Yeah.
It's grainy. It's not particular, you know, I mean, it's a little mess. And the other interesting thing is labs don't really know how to properly scan it yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it's a new emulsion. So they're like, I think it depending on the lab you take it to, you're going to get very different results, or you just scan it in yourself, I guess. But yeah, they just don't know how to invert those negatives yet without, you know, they need some more reference material, I guess. But the shots that Max got, I mean, I think he sent it to a lab and he sent them all of the reference stuff that Lomo had sent him. And they did a really excellent job inverting it. It really does feel like some old dusty stock from the 80s or 90s that your dad was shooting with, you know. It's like some like Japanese dad's film stock.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It has that vibe. I feel like I'm looking at like a old like Wong Kar Wai, or it just has that old Tokyo shit. Well, Wong Kar Wai is Korean, but you get the point. You know,
I get you.
That old vibe. It's great. I like it a lot.
And it's a new stock.
I love Lumography.
And it's a new stock.
Yeah.
The best.
Yeah.
That's the shit. We love to see it.
Love to see that.
We'll be right back with a listener question from Mark right after this message from our sponsor.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator. What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Just wanted to pop in here quick and let you guys know about our Patreon-only Develop and Hang Nights. Now, we've done a bunch of these already. They're a ton of fun. We talk shop. We develop some film. We also try to get a former guest for these. We laugh. It's just a great time. If that sounds like something you're interested in, head over to patreon.com/analogtalk. Patreon is the best way to support the show.
All right, guys, this is part of the show where we take a question from one of our listeners. And this week's question comes from A Glass Brightly on Instagram. And they ask, how would you hope your work affects society? And I feel like this could be music, this could be photography, whatever you...
Well, musically, I think I have a better answer because I really have no idea if my photography will affect society at all. And that's perfectly fine as long as it affects me and gives me memories that I can keep. That's really all I'm looking for. But as far as the music goes, you know, I would basically like to make people, one, forget about their lives for a minute because, you know, they're watching an insane person. and so a distraction from the banality and routine and horrific tragedy of life is one goal. And the other goal is to make people feel better about themselves. Because I just have realized over the years doing this that a lot of people need encouragement and a lot of people don't get it, which is really super sad, but true. You know, like people just, a lot of people really do not feel very good about themselves. And I have a lot of extra energy in that regard to give away. And so I try and do that. You know, I reel you in with vulgarity, but then I think the hope is that it kind of becomes a vulgar Mr. Rogers kind of thing.
Dude, 100, you nailed it with that.
That's beautiful. Yeah, that's beautiful.
That's my hope.
I love that. I feel like music is kind of universal in that way too. Like anytime if I'm having like anxiety or anything, I'm like, let me just put on some music, and it's just like, right, you know, like,
yeah, it's therapy. It's absolutely therapy.
100%.
Yeah,
dude, I can't not go without like watching one of your videos or where you're like collabing with people. You know, I start to get your dance in. I'm doing
it.
I'm
like
laughing.
It's like so much fun.
Like
I want to be rocking out over here.
It is so much fun. It is. It's absolutely so much fun.
It's amazing.
And I just get to do it for money. It's ridiculous.
I know. Wild.
Yeah.
The best. Living the dream.
The dream.
That's the best. I am. I really am.
Well, great answer.
Yeah.
Great
Thank
question.
You.
And
yeah,
then now we're about to hit you with two more questions.
Okay. I'm in.
So this is the first part. It's a two-part camera question that we mentioned in the beginning. So yep. What is your all-time favorite desert island camera? I can't live without it. This is the one you're like taking with you forever. What is it and why?
Oh, man. It's tough.
Mm-hmm. I think if I had to have one, I believe I would choose the Olympus Pen FV.
Ooh.
Okay.
The FV. Specifically the FV. And the reason is I have the F, I have two FTs, and I have the FV. And I grab it probably more often than any other camera because it's fully mechanical.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a battery in that sucker.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You can bring it anywhere. You get 72 shots.
Insane. Yeah.
Which means you can really just fire away. You know, it's like, yeah, if there's something you want to shoot, you can take four shots of it instead of like
one
and not really have to worry that you're running out of film. And then additionally, the suite of Zuiko glass that they made, I mean, this Mitanni design and the glass is so good that with the right scanner, you are getting, it's just like romantic full frame 35 almost, because there's just a little extra grain. There's a little romanticism in there. And it also forces you to consider compositions in portrait rather than landscape.
Yeah.
Right.
And there's, it is the shit. And it's light and it's tiny. And I have the 40 millimeter 1.4 on there, which is just a world class piece of glass. And, It's got to be my number one. It's my number one.
Damn.
All right.
Yeah. Love that. I love
narrowed
that.
It down pretty quick. I was like, it's got a lot
there's
of cameras.
There's definitely a few others in there, but it's kind of an unusual choice maybe too, which is why I chose it. But you know, I could maybe choose the M6 or the FM3A. Mm-hmm. But it's
that's
that
a
NFV,
great camera
man.
Too. Yeah.
It's that NFV.
All right.
No, the FM3A is a beast.
Yeah, it's a beast.
That also all mechanical, but with this, the 1/4000.
I know.
Mechanical?
I know.
That's crazy.
How do they even do that?
Yeah. I don't know.
I was talking with this about this with David Amell. You know David Amell?
Yeah, yep. Works
I was
studio.
Talking with him about this, we don't know how they distinguish mechanically between 1/2000th and 1/4000th.
Really. I know. Science precision.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, that's above my pay grade.
I know, seriously. I think you answered this part of the question already, but is there a white whale, anything you don't have yet and you're lusting after?
Oh,
that you want.
Oh boy, a real white whale.
Yep.
Yes, I mean, I'm sure there is. I mean, there's a few. I had a Rolleiflex and then I broke it. Which sucks. So I would like another Rolleiflex, particularly with the 75-35.
Yeah.
And not the 2.8, because the 80-2.8 is essentially, I have that on the Hossie already, you know what I mean?
Right, it's like, right.
Kind of the same glass. But a real white whale, I mean, that's a really tough one, man. I think what I would love, and this camera doesn't exist, but I'm gonna stick with the Pen FV. I want the Pen FV in black
because
they made the FT in black, and I have it, and it is so hot. But they
sexy.
Never made the FV in black. And there's this new Instagram account that I've been talking with called OM System. I don't know if you've seen them.
Yeah,
they're
I've
publishing
seen
a lot of great Pen content Olympus content in general. And he says that he knows someone that can do a full ceramic like rework of
I was just gonna say that.
Can you do like custom job on something like that?
I think I may do that.
Yeah.
And then
Ooh.
I will have a true white whale. Yeah. Yeah. It's
that's probably the best white whale answer we've got.
Yeah.
Like it has to be custom made.
Uh-huh.
Ooh, yeah.
That's the shit. Yeah.
That's great.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. It doesn't even exist.
I know.
Yeah.
Taking it to the next level.
Oh my God. Amazing.
Go.
Well, Mark, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us. I really appreciate it. This has been a fantastic, nerdy conversation, which we love here at Analog Talk.
Chris, Timothy, I cannot thank y'all enough. It was really a pleasure.
Where can everybody check you out? Where can they? Instagram, YouTube?
Instagram, mark.on.film is my film account. My regular account is Mark Rebillet. I am all over the dang place with my silly music. I have a Vegas residency I just announced.
Yeah, congrats
at Brooklyn
on that,
Bowl
man.
In Vegas.
Yeah, congratulations.
And we have Red Rocks coming up in October as well, those are all on sale at markrebillet.com. And otherwise, if you're in Manhattan or the surrounding boroughs, you will see me zooming around on my electric unicycle and taking pictures.
Oh my God. I need a photo of that.
Yeah.
That's what I want a photo of.
People have gotten some. I'll send them your way.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Anyway. All right, y'all.
We'll see you in the next one.
Bye. Hell yeah.
All right, guys. That's going to wrap it up. Mark, Chris, and I thank you so much for taking the time to come and hang out with us. We really appreciate it. I mean, you're a legend. Your music's amazing. Your photography's amazing. Your knowledge of photography. I mean, we appreciate you coming and hanging out. Thank you so much, man. Can't wait to see what the future brings for everything you got going on. Guys, that's going to take us to Patreon. Head over to patreon.com/analogtalk. For only $1, you can get the show 2 days early. We also have our Patreon-only develop and hang nights over there, a bunch of stuff in the archives, and like we always say, Patreon is the best way to support the show. For all the Patreons out there that already helped support the show, guys, we do not know what we would do without you. Thank you so much. Again, patreon.com/analogtalk. All right, that's it. This was huge. Thanks again, Mark. Until next week, we'll see you with an all new episode. Later.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.